3. 563 is the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 585. 585, and after this song, Jean, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the sun shall rise, headed for the Jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, singing, oh, what shouting, shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. Oh, what glory, 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 hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how blessed. Millions there will join the song with whom we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what a singing, singing, oh, day shouting, shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. Oh, death, glory, glory, glory.
As this morning we were closing our lesson study at that time, we referred to Paul's statement regarding his future and his plans for the future. And in regard to that particular matter, we read where he says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. We were talking about what he meant when he said, I fought a good fight and I have finished the course. Let's tonight take a look at, I have kept the faith. The faith is an important matter. Jude wrote about that in Jude 1 at verse 3 when he said, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That word once is used in Hebrews 9 at verse 27, pointing to the man once to die, and after this the judgment. It's the idea of one time. It's not the idea of reincarnation, as some would say and some would teach us in everything in the world in which we live. It's the idea of being in the Lord in such a way that we find that relationship with Him is found in death. And at the time of death, we go on to be with Him. The hope that we have in this matter is said there be death once, and that Jesus shall return not unto sin, but unto salvation. The hope is for you and me to live by the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. That faith is described in the New Testament Bible in illustrations that are given of people that were getting away from the faith, not living in the faith as they should. Remember the passage in John 4 at 23 that says God seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so true worshipers are sought by the Lord, and we are to be people who worship Him sincerely, devoutly, and in spirit and in truth. We're to be people who follow His word. When the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 did not follow His word in regard to the Lord's Supper, they were eating not the Lord's Supper, but their own supper, it is said. They were eating and drinking, he says, condemnation to their souls. They were not doing as He had asked them to do, not following as He had told them to do. And as a result of that, their practice of what they call the Lord's Supper was not the Lord's Supper at all, he says. And they were actually participating in their own supper. And as a result, they were eating and drinking condemnation to the soul. You imagine the eating of the loaf and the eating of drinking of the fruit of the vine is for our own condemnation. We're finding ourselves rejected by God when we do that because we're not abiding in the faith that He has delivered, the teaching that He's delivered. We believe that if we eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, we shall have life. That's what Jesus said in John 6, very vividly for us. And as a result of this, we want to be people who follow it in a correct way. And as a result, we find ourselves honoring the Lord's Supper as He has given to us that way. When we find ourselves in God's Word, we find ourselves following His will because we want to be true worshipers of God. As we do that, we'll find ourselves in the worship activities in singing. For in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The idea there is singing and making melody in your heart, not upon a harp, not upon an instrument of some kind, not becoming a person who is so skilled in that everybody is mesmerized by that person. You know, we just could not have that to be the thing that just anybody could be there and play in the instrument at all. But we all can blend our voices together, and in blending, where one voice would be atrocious and problematic and not on tune, all voices blending together makes a world of difference. And it is pleasing and acceptable to God. And so He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing to the Lord, making melody in our heart, and speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is the way that it's to be done. As a result of that, we'd encourage one another. When I sing you in that verse, I'm not speaking and singing you out any more than you are singing me out when you say you in that same song to me. Because when we speak of you and you're talking about you and me. We're all of us together. We're blending our voices together and blending those words together. And as a result of that, we are people who worship the Lord in a faithful and good and godly way. The brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14, beginning verse 15, were people who did not sing, pray, or preach in words that people could understand. As a result of that, they were told by Paul that he'd rather speak four or five words in an unknown tongue than to speak in this regard of 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He'd rather speak four or five words in a tongue that they understood and understood the meaning of and the ideas of than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. The idea of so much being said and done did not match up with the faith. They were to be people who spoke in the words that could be clearly understood. He tells them that in fact, if you have someone who comes into your service and they hear you speaking in languages that they cannot understand, they cannot understand the meaning of the words that are being said there, he says they will leave saying, "You are insane. You're mad." King James Version has the word mad. You're mad. You're insane. You just don't know the right things at all because they could not understand what was expected. Very likely in that regard, they got the impression by being in that service that something was very important. Something was very serious. Something needed to be done. Something needed to happen. But they didn't know what. They didn't understand the words of what they were to do, how they would act, how they would behave. And as a result, they left saying, these people are just crazy. They're insane because they obviously want us to do something, but we don't know what it is that they would have us to do. Churches in the order of this today are by a multitude, hundreds and thousands, and throughout the world, did not stay in the faith and did not stay a part of the true worship of God at all. And as a result of that, they've gone off into all kinds of entertainment codes and entertainment systems today. You'll see it on television many times. You'll see the notations made. And you'll see that they really work the order of it. The best of musicians will play. The best of singers will sing. And they'll be serious about it. They won't have you just to blend a voice together. They won't have you to say words that are easily understood. They'll have you in a particular situation where it's an entertainment code that is being served. As a result of that, are these true worshipers of the Lord? Is this the faith that the Bible speaks about? And we answer no, that's not the faith. That's not the teaching. The teaching is the simple way that we blend our voices together and remember the things that are said in those words, in those songs that are sung, and prayers that are said, and sermons that are delivered. We're to be people who follow the Lord's word, the Lord's will. As we do that, there are people times around about us who are in need. And I appreciate the fact that you are people here, this congregation. And we have more on Sunday morning than we do at other times of the week. And we're trying to make an alteration about that and change that. Because they don't realize the importance of this and the importance of it being such a benefit to their souls and their lives. They're good people, though, and they care. And they care about the people who have come to be a part of this service with us that are a different coloration, different beliefs, different ideas, different practices in life, different needs in life. And to be treating them as no different from anybody else, and to be people who are kind to them and thoughtful to them, is the way that everyone here in this congregation is behaving and doing, and it's a real wonderful blessing. And that is the way that we're to be. In Ephesians chapter 4, reference is made to how we're to be people who are kind and thoughtful to others and thoughtful in their ways. In Ephesians 4, beginning verse 28, be ye kind one to another, and thoughtful and careful of one another. And how we act as toward one another is in a way that's kindly done. When we're not kind in our expressions one to another, we get over into the area of Proverbs 15 in verse 1. A soft answer, or gentle answer, turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. When we have conflicts with one another in practices that are being done, when you talk with me in that regard in a rough way, then I'll be mad and reply probably in like kind. But if that's not the case, if you're gentle in your expression and gentle in your understanding and gentle in your prayer with me, the idea is we will be as friends with one another and helpful to one another in every way of good. We're looking for good to be done. And as we look for good to be done, we're in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he noted to you and me that way of life of which it is noted by Simon Peter in reference to this matter in Acts chapter 10. He went about, that is Jesus, he went about doing good. He went about doing good. When we're people who care for others, and we do care for others, and in such a way as to care for others in such a way that we are helpful, not to a way of life that is foolish and foolhardy, but to a way of life that is good and helpful and betterment and growth. That's the way that we want to help one another. Let's be people then who practice the faith that is so delivered to us in the Bible, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That's the way to worship. That's the way to teach. That's the way to live as we serve one another, as we work together. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, please don't forget how that in Romans chapter 6 you read where Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Those brethren had an idea that the more they sinned, the more grace it took to save them, and therefore they were closer to God because they sinned more and they had more grace to save them. They had closeness to God. It took a lot more for them than it did for others. Well, these verses tell us plainly that what they had there was not right. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? He goes on in verses 16 through 18 particularly, and through the end of that chapter actually, to say, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And he talks about that righteousness which brings about eternal life. When we find ourselves baptized into Christ, begin that new walk of life, begin that new way of living, we now become the servants of right doing. And as we serve right doing, we ultimately will come to a place of our death and our decline here on this earth and our going on to life's other side, to eternal life. That's the result of living in a righteous way of life. What a blessing it is to have that to be done. Let's be people who practice that way of life. And practice that way of life as it is noted and by those who are counselors and those who are students of this in God's Word in the church of the Lord, in whatever area of life we're found. Whether it's going to a movie, there are times we may need to shut our eyes, shut our ears, not hear the things that are being said, the things that are being done. Maybe times that we need to exit ourselves away from because so much of it is being represented in that movie. Let's be people who find ourselves choosing television programs that are encouraging and good things and good being done, not those things that are ungodly and unrighteous. Let's find ourselves on the internet being people who visit those places that find ourselves doing those things that are good and godly and righteous and helpful, and quickly going back to a place where you can search a particular matter out, search a word, and go to some of the Bible studies that are just fantastic Bible studies. Just quickly go to them and get that a benefit. But find ourselves not going by because there'll be something that crashes in, something that comes in, and there'll be some offer that's given to you by webmail that no, you did not call the person, you didn't write the person, you did not find that at all. But that will come in. And in the quarantine, you will find that it's right there and available. But there's a thing called empty this quarantine. Do not go to it and find yourself free from that because you're doing the right thing now and the right thing that leads to everlasting life. What a blessing it is to be people who follow the way of God's faith that He has delivered to us. Faith itself is a work. John 6:29. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him who has sent. Faith itself is the work of God. There are four kinds of works in the New Testament of our Bible. We read in John 8, for the work of the devil you will do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, even so do you. If we abide not in the truth and we follow a way that's foolish and foolhardy in life, we're of our father the devil, and the works of the father of the devil we will do. Then he calls in Galatians 5 at verse 4 to the works of the old law. If you try to be justified by going by the Ten Commandments system, and I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, what do you do for the Lord? Well, you don't even have Jesus coming at that particular point in time in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. But you find yourself following His way and doing the not the work of the devil, but the work of the Lord in the faith that we live. And then in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the grace of God that brings salvation. We find ourselves wonderful in that, not by doing the works of our own righteousness, the works that we succeed at doing and we get praise for doing those things. We turn that over to say we got praise for that because we were doing the righteous things of God. The work of God is the thing that we're to do in our lives. And no wonder there in Romans 6, that's what Paul said. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. They were working for sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Obeyed what? Obeyed the commandments from the heart, that form of doctrine. What was that form of doctrine? He had just explained in Romans 6, 1 through 6. When you were baptized into Christ, you were raised to walk in newness of life. That's the only form thing being described there. They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered them, being then made free from sin. They became the servants of righteousness. That's what we're preaching tonight. I hope you understand. And I hope that you, if you decide to obey the gospel of Jesus tonight, that you'll do so. As we stand together and sing, let us do this.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you reap full of victory?
Okay, let's all be seated.